Hi, this is Ricky Stewart, and if you want to listen to a Raiders podcast, then you should listen to the official one, Behind the Limelight, not this rubbish with Flaky Blakey.
Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.
It's Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork.
Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And we're also very lucky to be joined by our very special perennial guest star, Matthew Heather Locklear, Hollywood Neves. Matthew.
Hey, degenerates. Happy to be here. I'm now in Auckland. We're 1-0. It's very special times. And suck it, Windscreens O'Brien. Suck it. Suck it, Newcastle fans.
And
suck it
welcome
to my Newey fans that were there.
Indeed. Welcome to the podcast, formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet, brought to you from the filthiest door and buried somewhere in the bowels of Civic, the location of which we will never reveal, will we, Blake?
No, we won't. We won't. But full disclosure, people can usually tell when we're not coming from the filthy storeroom, because it sounds like you're recording. Are you actually in your toilet, Tim?
Yeah, I'm in the toilet. Yeah, that's where I have to go. So that's where I have to go. So if there's some flushing, it's the beans. I'm in there. But we're brought to you with the extremely, and I mean extremely dubious support of the Green Machine.
It's never been more dubious than it was sort of this time last week.
Yeah, so dubious.
We got some pretty strong feedback.
Very strong feedback.
From the greenhouse. And I'll touch on, most of it was directed at you, Tim.
Yeah, straighten up and fly right, I think, was the message I was hearing from GE.
GE, the man behind the greenhouse, had some feedback on your Vegas versus Wagga take.
He did.
I don't know where Pork is getting the idea that it's Vegas or Wagga. Well, that's even vaguely a good choice to say, or even that it's a vaguely good choice to say, yes, Wagga. So I did background a bit of some of the stuff you said on last week's show, and yeah. I don't know how well it stood up to the light of day, the full scrutiny. There's numerous quotes from Don Ferner came out during the week saying that he would be prepared to make Vegas a home game next year. So it's not that he wouldn't want to go to Vegas because he's so committed to the idea of Wagga. And the other thing is, too, is the Raiders currently have a five-year deal with the ACT government, which only allows them to take two games away out of that deal. Or they can take additional ones out, but then they won't get paid the money.
That's right. They won't get paid the money. And one of the points that was made, and when you're weighing that up against taking matches away, who's more important to your fan base, the people of Las Vegas or the people of Wagga Wagga? I'm going to go with the people of Wagga Wagga being far more important.
Ask anyone of the playing group, right? If you Don Ferner, you told the playing group, oh, guys, yeah, we had the chance to go to Vegas, but no. We're committed to Wagga, so we're going to Wagga this year. They would go on strike, the players. And also, too, what about the sponsors? How much more exposure would all the Canberra sponsors get from that, you know, the ratings? You know, let's forget about the paltry US ratings, which were, like, so shockingly bad, I couldn't believe it. But yeah. The ratings for Australia for those games, it's, like, on equivalent to, like, you know, the biggest games of the year now.
And the opportunity to be able to, like, cross-pollinate with the Las Vegas Raiders and see what you could possibly do there. It's just so many opportunities that the club would leverage that they jump at the chance. You know, who knows? I love to see us get that opportunity. And we do hear that we're one of the teams in the running and we were close last year. But I I'm always shocked and saddened by the lack of respect we get in the Sydney media, which is surprising because we've been dealing with it for our lifetime.
Get used to it.
I'd be surprised to see if we're there next year, even though it makes sense, you know, that having the Raiders play at the Raiders Stadium makes sense.
Peter Vlandis came out and said, you know, that he wasn't opposed to having the same teams go back there next year. Now, DCE said that Manly should become the de facto club of the US and they should play there every year. But I think ultimately what it will come down to from an NRL point of view, the Vegas game can be successful and they can get a crowd to that game, right? But the crowd that they get to that game is not going to be Americans.
No.
It's going to be Australians. They're going to fly over to see the game. So I think they will look at who has the most fans that will potentially fly over, you know, and buy tickets and spend a week in Vegas.
Whose fans got the money? And with that being the case, you really are looking at the boys from the Northern Beaches, aren't you?
Yeah, but you can kind of already hear the whispers in the reeds when it comes to the sides that are being
Melbourne
looked at for next year. It's Melbourne, the Warriors, and Penrith.
Yeah.
And then there's one more spot. So, you know, I would think the Raiders have probably got
a good shot. Can't imagine too many of the Penrith fans could, you know, I don't want to, you know, judge people from that part of Sydney, but, you know.
Even though
you see the profit they just earned the other day? That club could afford to fly all their fans over.
That is the Vegas of the West.
Well, the reason why they want to go is because they're losing their home stadium next year. So rather than play one of their home games at CommBank, they can go to Vegas. We spoke about it last week. We've heard some great ideas with, you know, maybe the World Club Challenge being there. I think that's a fantastic idea. It'll bring in some more English fans. And then, who knows? I mean, let's stop talking about Vegas, for God's sake.
We'll move on. One more thing that Don Ferner did say, though, when I heard sort of post the Vegas stuff, was the Raiders actually did put their hand up this year to be the standby team if someone else fell over at the last minute.
Peptides in the off-season.
Who knows? Okay, what else could it be? News. So not a huge amount of news. I don't have a huge amount of news. I mean, the biggest news, of course, was the fact that we got off a great start of the season. Not only in first grade though, all six versions of the Raiders all won last week.
Has that ever happened?
Yeah, not only
it ever happening.
And it was against the junior reps were against Penrith too. So we sweep Penrith in the juniors. And I remember saying last week I was worried about our juniors. So how exciting is that? They're actually playing here in Hamilton against the Warriors this weekend, the week before our senior club come out. But no, it's pretty awesome, and it wasn't even close in Cup. And that's, you don't often hear that, actually. You don't often hear both first grade coaches talk about the reserve grade in the post-match presser, where Adam O'Brien, when a question was posed to him about, how do you feel next week with some of the players, think they'll get picked? And he said, did you not see reserve grade? They were just as bad.
Yeah.
And Ricky said how amazing reserve grade was. So if you watch the highlights, there's a bit of pressure on some of the players, and we could talk about it later, but a couple of the guys that I know fans want to see in first grade really put their hand up. So there's a lot of pressure on some of those spots,
Schiller,
which I think is fantastic. Schiller was great. Chevy Stewart, a friend of mine was there and said Newcastle could not handle our fullback, which is amazing to consider. That's probably his seventh game at adult level, or maybe 12th or something. So he didn't know who he was, and he just said, we can't handle your fullback. And then when I watched the highlights, it looked like Kaya Weeks actually played really well as well. He looked fast, and
fastest at the club. When they did those sort of various figures of, you know, who's the fastest at every club, he's the second fastest, just after Xavier Savage, over 20 meters. But they didn't say any longer distance than that. And then, interestingly enough, this is sort of a slight tangent, but you know, when they released all the figures of the in-game running stats for each team, the Telstra track or whatever, GPS stuff for last year. Do you know who was the Raiders player that recorded the fastest speed in a game last year?
I do recall this, but I can't remember what it was.
Tom Starling. It's Albert Hopewade, who is generally perceived to be as slow.
Bit of a slow poke.
But he was the fastest. This was in game, so obviously Savage only played one game last year. But it went.
I think I remember that actually.
Yeah, Hopewadi, then Seb Chris, then Matt Timoko, then probably Hudson Young.
Weeks looked so fast on the weekend that he would have picked up another try if it wasn't for that pass from Adam Cook that went slightly behind him. So look, I'm not death riding any player in first grade, but it's great to see the guys that have been training with first grade go back and actually really impress. I mean, we've had these conversations last year, talking about players when they've gone back to reserve grade and just not looked a cut above. I mean, who is someone that you often said, Blake? Schneider. You would say he just didn't look like he was.
He always looked good, but I just always recall, like, you know, back in the days when reserve grade was played every week before first grade, you know, you'd go there to watch the William Zillmans and the Todd Carneys and the Terry Campese's coming through. And they were like, just, you know, these guys are so much better than, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Brad Schneider was always very
like
solid.
Like a Frawley. It's on the New South Wales Rugby League website. You can look at the highlights. Schiller certainly scores another long distance try and looked amazing. Weeks looked fast. Puru looked good. Mooney looked good. And Chevy Stewart looked fantastic as well. So I think they're the positions that we're all kind of concerned with at the beginning of the year. And if we've got a bit of depth there now, it's really exciting, you know. And yeah. And we've also got some guys coming back in first grade, which is even more exciting.
That is exciting. We do another piece of news that we've got at the moment is, and you might have seen in the press that Turkish Delight, Emre Güler, he's into Ramadan. He's got four matches where he's not eating from sun up to sundown in that
period.
I think
I read it.
Monday the 11th of March to Tuesday 9th of April, he's got four matches in there. And you've got to wonder how much impact that's going to have on a big unit like him. All he needs is carbs.
I thought I read in the Canberra Times article that he said that he wasn't going to adhere to it quite as strictly as Hazmel Masri or Sonny Bill Williams had in the past. So.
Really?
Let's see. I don't know. The thing that you do for Ramadan is though you get up at 5 and you have a big meal before the sun comes up. Yeah. Or in his case, a few kebabs.
Well, kebabs are great, especially first thing in the morning or first thing in the morning when you've been up all night. I think that's when they're mostly eaten, isn't it?
You guys remember was it the first Alibaba in Canberra at Woden there?
Yeah, there was one in Greenwich. It's gone. It's like, I don't know if Alibaba still exists someplace. It's not in.
Oh, that's a shame.
There's a couple. There's a couple around the 80s. There's down in the food hell at in Civic, and there's definitely one in the Woden food hell. And they're still good kebabs, mate. They're still good kebabs. They just don't call them shawarmas anymore, and that upsets me.
Yeah. I think once they started selling chips, they lost me. Next bit of news. We need an update. Has Warren Smith unblocked you on Twitter?
You'll be glad to know that Warren Smith has, in fact, unblocked me on Twitter. Look, we've made it. Now, the campaign has to be get the pork unblocked with Buzz.
That's the end of season goal. That's the end. Is there anyone else in the interim we could potentially have you? I mean, it's all thanks to Matt. Look,
there's a couple, but there's just no way in the world they're unblocking me. Things were said, you know, they can't be taken back, and you know, I stand by them, and I wouldn't expect those people to unblock me. You know, that's just the way it is. Margaret Thatcher once said, "Of course I've got enemies because I've stood for things," you know, and it's the same story here. I don't back down on what I said to those people to get them to block me, and that's fair enough. They can block me.
Fair enough. For feeder watch time.
For feeder watch.
Has anyone cited David Fafita in recent times?
Nope. No, he's trying to find his pecs somewhere
off
the burly heads.
I saw him
to the facility.
I saw him. I saw him in the dressing room, in the game at Suncorp on the weekend. He was giving the Titans players a lot of advice.
So you would after that performance.
What the Des Hasler, you know, era just got off to such a bad start, and he's noted for turning defenses around. But then again, you look at that performance of the Cowboys. And then you put it in perspective with how we went against the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago with our best players on the field. You know, there's plenty of positives to take out of that because the Cowboys, you know, are a quality team.
It's time for Ask Loud of the Week.
Okay, Matt, lead us off. Who you got this week? You don't normally get to lead off Ask Loud of the Week, so.
You don't?
No, there's a few that we've lined up. Probably Paul Kent, to be honest. Hopefully I'm not stealing yours. I haven't seen the rundown. But the way that they're dealing and running on with this stuff when it comes to Ezra Mam and trying to sort of silence him or saying Jonathan Thurston's overreacted, they're not putting themselves in the position of the person who's been victimised or even not trying to understand where he's come from and the history that he might have had to deal with and understanding what it might mean to be a First Nations person who's hearing those words. So I just think they need to move on and not have an opinion when it's got nothing to do with you.
Paul Kent is an absolute ass clown. He's turned, I watched NRL 360 last night and it was unbearable. He turned it into a whole thing that the war on woke and the NRL, basically what he was saying was that 8 weeks was far too long, a suspension for Spencer Lennie. I think it's probably about right. Some people are going to say it's too much and other people are going to say it's not enough. But, you know, if you fall somewhere in the middle of those two, it's probably more or less right. But, yeah, he said that it was too much and it was just a case of the NRL bowing to the pressure of, you know, the woke world and how they shouldn't have done it. And, you know, Spencer Lennon should have just flown up to Brisbane and shook his hand and, you know, apologised and should have been left at that. It shouldn't be all blown out of proportion.
He didn't want to do that. He wanted to fight him in the hotel straight after. And the thing that I find, it's all well and easy for some white privileged guy and a TV network to be able to say that. It's got nothing to do with you, dude. Like,
yeah.
And how do we define what woke is? Is that just someone who's highly educated or someone who has an open mind?
One of my friends reckons this podcast's too woke because we're always bagging Peter Landis and gambling. So,
yeah, but it's just an opinion. It doesn't mean it's woke. It's just an opinion. And
Pork's one of the biggest boomers around. He couldn't possibly be woke. How can you call yourself the Pork and be woke? If you call himself,
I'm just saying we can have a different opinion to some of these people and then come on and have a chat with us. And if you have a strong mind and you actually can convince me otherwise, I'll 100% listen, because if I'm in the wrong, for sure. But I'm not going to – you don't just label someone woke just to shut them down, because it's like grouping them in a term that you can't really argue against. It's just
Look, I should say this. I'm reluctantly woke. People explain to me why I shouldn't be doing things or saying those things, and I go, yeah, you got a point, and I reluctantly go over.
It's usually me explaining to you.
You always like to think that. And there are things I'm open to hearing. I do not want to hurt or upset people. And usually if I do something or say something, it's not because that was my intention at all. It's because I didn't understand it was doing something to someone. But once someone brings it to your attention, you know, you got to accept that. You got to then move forward and say, well, that's the way things are now. Someone's getting hurt. I'm not here to upset people, so I'm going to do the thing that doesn't upset people.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, that's the annoying thing about Paul Kent, because he's kind of like a grandpa standing on the porch yelling at his kids to get off the lawn.
It's getting worse. Well, he didn't stop that whole episode.
Rugby league used to be like this, and, you know, we used to just leave it on the field and they should be able to say good, but no, it's not true. You haven't walked in the shoes of Ezra Mamie. You have no idea what that word means.
Exactly. Or Jonathan Thurston.
Exactly.
There's a second really, really horrible outcome of that. Years ago when I was working at Channel 9, we went to the 2UE studios. And if you remember the old shock jock, Stan Zamanek, was there. Yeah. You used to use this and everything there. Got there, and the worst thing was it was all a lie. It was a show. His staff was like the United Colors of Benetton. People from all walks of life, part-time mothers, job sharing this. He couldn't have been a nicer human. And it actually made it worse that it was an act and he was getting paid to play a part and he did not believe any of it. It is a possibility that Paul Kent has been brought back specifically for the role.
No. I think he's just gotten worse in his time. He's got more cantankerous in his time off. And instead of, you know, using that time to maybe reflect a bit, he has gone the full, you know. Because when you get cancelled, right? And let's face it, he got very close to being cancelled.
Yep,
we got very close to being cancelled. The only way to go is extreme right. And for a lot of people, it actually pays off. So he obviously thought that if he wasn't going to get back on Fox League, maybe he could line himself up a career on Sky News.
You know what's really sad about that show, though, and we watched a little bit of it again because it's back on, we're all starved of rugby league, is it just goes to show you how lazy the journalism is. Like, it really is. And it makes me really sad because, you know...
Oh, Rothfield lazy.
Well, if you're listening to this podcast...
He was out every night till 4 a.m. in Vegas.
In Vegas getting free Chinese buffets. But if you're listening to this podcast, you obviously love rugby league and you want as much content as you can get, especially around the Raiders. And we go scrowling and I watch the 360 hoping they're going to talk about my team. And they never do. And then when they do, they come up with just the stupidest takes. So do half the podcasts, you know?
Oh,
like, Sam Chris was going to be the fullback and Jordan Rapid is never going to play. It's just like, can we stop with this lazy journalism? Put a little bit of effort in.
And the Raiders are nothing without Jack Whiten.
Jack Whiten, I know. It's
Oh, and the Mole tweeting. This was one of my... I'd actually had a few nominations for Ask Clan.
That's
Mole
the best tweeting, one. Bring tweeting, that one up. Jeez, Matt Timico,
is this guy eligible for Origin? Everyone's like, mate, he's already played for the Kiwis. And then Mole replied back that he was being sarcastic, which is, of course, what people say when they're...
It was
they're
embarrassed. It's also not clever. Sarcasm. It's actually not sarcasm.
No. He's just an idiot. Yeah, but the Paul Kent thing, so we are starved of content. And when Ricky first came back to the Raiders, Paul Kent, because he's good mates with Ricky, used to talk about the Raiders and Ricky Stewart all the time. And I used to watch it because he actually got quite a few interesting insights. Yeah, but you don't get any more.
They didn't mention them once last week. They haven't mentioned them really this week. And it's all about how bad Newcastle were, and it's fine, like, we're going to be able to talk about it when it comes to this game this weekend, but, you know, that whole mantra behind fuck 'em, which is what was on the dressing sheds and, you know, the kind of anti Raiders thing that they could use. It's going to work in a lot of games and it's going to help them, but it's not going to work this weekend.
Yeah. No. We're going in as favourites. I wasn't sure when I first saw that if it was actually had been photoshopped, because I think the person I saw that first posted it is known for their photoshop skills. And it wasn't Nick, formerly of the Green Machine podcast.
No. So who's your Ask Clan of the Week, Larko?
Oh, mine was Paul Kent, the Mole, Anthony Mundine. If there's ever an argument and there's a right and a wrong side of an argument, Anthony Mundine will invariably fall on the wrong side. And he's one of those people now, I think he just says, it's like the sort of Jermaine Greer, relevance deprivation, just say something controversial to get back in the press. Or again, lazy journos ring him up and, he'll provide them a quote.
As a segue into actually talking about the match from last Thursday, it seems an eon ago now.
I've actually got one more Ask Clown that I need to bring up because I want to hear both your opinion on it.
BJ Lalua.
Oh, no, sorry. You're going.
BJ Lalua. Yeah, that's an honourable Ask Clown right there.
How do you make a grand final? And not only that, you probably cost your team the grand final by not passing it. And then to drum up
support, never play for Ricky again. Never played with him again.
And then you say that I played with no one on my team except me. Like, are you serious? You played with Papa Lee. You play. He's got to be just trolling, right, to get clicks for the fight. Like,
totally. Yes.
Oh, look, I think in the heat of the moment, Curtis Scott was implying that he was a better centre because he had won a premiership, and BJ hadn't. And I don't think there's any validity to that argument. I think BJ was kind of trying to say, in a pretty clumsy way, that hey, you were carried by Billy Slater and Cameron Smith, and I don't know, was Cooper Cronk still playing in the one he won? Probably.
No, I don't think so. Or just
no, he would have been. Which one was he? Would have been in the one,
the 2007 the Cowboys.
The one where they beat the Cowboys, was that 2017? Wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's
I think
the one
he might have been in that one. Now, my Ask Clown for the week is, as a segue into this, is Tyson Gamble. Now, there's no particular thing that Tyson Gamble did apart from being on the field and being in himself Tyson Gamble and being present as Tyson Gamble with that haircut. What was great was he didn't play very well at all. And, we were told beforehand that the Knights had this fantastic spine and the Raiders really didn't have a good one. Well, our spine absolutely crapped all over them in that match. And Tyson Gamble, you are pathetic, you're useless. And I'm sure you were trying to get someone to bite your arm again by shoving it down their mouth, but he's my Ask Clown of the Week.
He flopped. He's the one who, on the fourth tackle fifth tackle in a terrible set, coming out of their own end with nothing doing, not being able to break our line near the end of the game, did that kick ahead and ran into Tarpany.
Mm.
And Tarpany did a captain's call.
Yes.
And then they quickly said, no, you backed into him. Tarpany just stopped.
Yeah. No, he didn't do it. There wasn't much wrong with that one.
They scored off the next set.
In fairness to Tyson Gamble and the Knights players, I thought that from both sides, there was a little bit of playing the whistle. And obviously that coaches instruct them, if you get a bit of pressure here or a bit of this or a bit of that. We should have mentioned the other bit of news was the judiciary news we normally cover, that Hudson Young got away with a fine, which I was expecting. I thought fair enough, but I was actually surprised that Emre got off with a fine as well, because that looked like a pretty sort of classic hip drop to me.
I think if Hudson hadn't been sin-binned, Emre certainly would have been.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think by the time they'd actually sin-binned him and they worked out, hang on, we've just sin-binned the bloke for running into a player and pushing him in the chest, which was miles off the ball when he ran into the guy's line.
He didn't run into a player, Tim. He ran into Kalen Ponga. Well, who was one of the commentators of the last year was the Ask Clown who sort of suggested someone should go to the bin because they laid a finger on Kalen Ponga, and somehow, I think it was Matt Russell, there should be a different rules applied to protected species
Matt
in the
Russell.
Game.
Is my friend and is a champion of a man. He is the salt of the earth. He is
one of the
people you ever meet. And I really resent that you have a go.
That's why I was so disappointed when I heard him say that. Yeah, I'm assuming it was him.
I don't think you need to be green-eyed to think that that shouldn't have been a sin bin. I know some people are saying that. I agree with Pork. I don't think he touched his head. And when they show like four replays in a row and they went off the replays, that's how...
Yeah.
You know, they got back and got Hudson.
So much worse in slow motion.
In slow mo, and you couldn't quite tell whether his head took the knock, but Ponga kind of sold it. And you could tell in that last replay from the goal end that Hutto just kind of bumped him with his arms up, didn't touch his head, and then cared for him straight after. I didn't even think it was a sin bin. But you're right, Emre, that's a textbook 1 or 2 weeks. And one thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there seems to be a lot more getting through with the judiciary in the last second half of last year, leading into this year. I'm not seeing these huge, you know, suspensions. I mean, obviously the thing with Spencer Lenny is very, very different, but there's been a few that I've watched and I'm like, really, that's just a fine or that's just a week?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as a Raiders fan, we'll remember what they did to Corey Horsburgh and Seb Chris. So not exactly the end of last year, but there are just some occasions when I'm noticing the punishment doesn't actually quite fit the fine.
The Horsburgh one is a joke. The Seb Chris one I could cop.
Yeah, me too. The Horsburgh one is ridiculous.
Yeah. Wasn't even a shoulder charge. I still don't think it was a shoulder charge. Something that's upset me a bit this week too, and it's made me want to go, on the burst! Yeah, well, I kind of touched on it before, but Raiders fans who don't tip their team in round one. I mean, I lose faith. Oh, I have lost faith, you know, many, many times over the years. But I always go into round one, you know, thinking no matter what the odds, what the circumstances, I always think that we're a chance. And look, listen to last week's show and then look at every other podcast bit of media news reporting. The only people that believed that the Raiders were going to win last week were ourselves and probably Ricky Stewart and the team. But back your team. Don't tip against them in round one, so-called Raiders fans. And in case you need a reminding of this, here's a message from the great man, Alan Tung.
Hi, it's former Canberra Raiders captain Alan Tung here. And you know, I don't actually go in footy tipping comps, but if I did, I'd tip the Raiders every week.
And look, he makes it very, very clear. He does make it clear. He would never... You know, you just don't tip against your own side. It's not about winning the round or winning the prize at the end of the year. It's about showing solidarity with your side. If you tip against your own side, you're a loser.
Well, this is what people say to me, and they go, oh, but there's money in this tipping comp. I could win $300. It's like, well, I would happily pay $300 for the Raiders to win. Probably
just
one
that
game.
Match. Just that match. Yeah, just that match.
Watch the trials. Look at the form. Look how shit Newcastle were in that trial against Melbourne.
Yeah, we'll cover the Newcastle game, but I just want to say, Matt, yeah, straight off, like everything you said about the Raiders looking like one of the fittest sides, and the Knights looking underdone, really, we sort of shone through in that match, I thought.
Yeah, and we came over them at the end of the half, and then I was so impressed with the way that we started that second half when we didn't have the ball in the possession. But no, I mean, obviously, I talked to one of the coaches, but it was pretty evident if you look at the trials, just the foot speed, the different way that we're attacking, the camaraderie within the team. And you don't lose that when one player leaves the club. And I've noticed a distinct change in the club and how closer they are and how they're all there for each other. And it was evident in that first 20 minutes against the Cows at Seaford Oval. And then just to watch the depth in that game against the Toongabby eel suckers. It's like, you know, like suddenly there's optimism to be had. There's reasons to be cheerful. And I'm just so proud that all that hard work they've put in showed in that game. And I mean, we'll get talking about it, but there was so much to like from that game. And now the trick is not physically, you know, working into this weekend. It's not about just trusting the processes and trusting the work that we've done. This weekend is not getting ahead of yourself.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very true. But we should actually talk about the Knights game. There was a bit to like.
Oh, there was plenty to like. I mean, I think, you know, we played a very simple game plan, but that's round one footy. And you play to your strengths. I've seen a few people sort of almost critical of the way the Raiders played and the way they won the game. But look, I will take a grinding win like that any day of the week. It's much better than losing, you know, 34-41 against the Bulldogs or whatever it was.
And that's also a cheap take, you know. Like, one of the things that these guys have been doing is working hard for a goal from late last year, and this is the first time they've really been tested. And there were times in that second half when they were tested, and rather than fold and go out on their own and try and, you know, do a one-off play or try and do a big hit or run out of the line and get caught offside, which Newcastle started doing.
You're just sort of describing all the things that Jack Whiten used to do.
Exactly, dude. And, yeah. and it's look at Croker's 300 game last year. That's the biggest example. And look what Kalen Ponga did on the weekend. You have a look at what Penrith actually did on the weekend, which is surprising. When we didn't have the ball, when we were under the pump, we stuck to our processes. We believed in each other. And I could not be happier for the young squad that we have, because that game and winning that way, it's a cheap take to say that it was unflashy. And it's some of the Sydney podcast media. What I saw is a coaching staff and a playing staff that will be closer together after that result, because they trusted their game plan and it came off in a way that they will be able to build on that. And everyone contributed, whether defensively like Ethan Strange or in attack. And we could not be happier with our buys. Like, we'll all talk about our man of the matches, but there's two new guys in the club that are in most people's top three. So it's just, it's insane.
Yeah, so what I thought we'd do is we'd go through, just I'd sort of bring up a few players from the game, and we could speak of their performances individually. So we'll look at the first two new buyers, and they're both sensational. Two of the best players, Morgan Smithies. Yeah. I think, you know, we've signed a good one there. You know, he's one tough pom, as Ricky would say, and I think he's more on the John Bateman or Elliot Whitehead end of the scale than he is Jordan Turner or Ryan Sutton.
He's up there with one of the more impressive debuts I've ever seen at our club.
Yeah.
He didn't make a mistake, and I've watched that game back. His effort in defence was as strong in the 70th minute as it was in the first, and in attack. He took some hard carries, dude, and he's a very, very, very good rugby league player.
The thing in the lead up to the game was Tim sort of mentioned he's going to play 60 or 70 minutes. And I said, I think he'll play 80. Barring the HIA, I think he plays 80. And if you actually look back,
he plays 70. But barring the HIA, I think you're right. He will play whole 80.
Because if you go back and watch the Super League Grand Final from last year, he wasn't the official man of the match. But a lot of people thought that he should have been the man of the match. He played 80 minutes and made 55 tackles.
Well, he made 46 tackles. And then he made 108 metres from 14 runs. He had his only blemish on his record is he made one missed tackle. I reckon that was falling off rather than actually a missed tackle.
What a debut.
It's what amazing.
What a debut. I mean, get behind him, Raiders fans.
Absolutely.
Lock him in at 13 for the rest of the year for me, and let's push Horse into the front row rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was good to see when the final try was scored and the team were celebrating. No one looked happier than Morgan Smithies. When Hudson Young got over for that try, he was in there and he looked absolutely loved it. And look, he went off with an HIA. I don't think he actually had a head knock. It was more he got split around the forehead. And the timing actually worked out well, because although with the HIA you've got to stay off for 15 minutes, that time can be taken up by the halftime break. So he actually came back. He only missed 10 minutes in the end.
And he also did a kick too, which is very rare for a player in their first game for a club playing lock forward to actually have an attacking kick, which he did.
And his family was there too, which is amazing, you know. So you don't get to play in front of huge crowds week in, week out in the Super League, and it could have been quite daunting for someone going to a night game, the first game in the country for him, and also the first game in the country for the entire rugby league. 26,000 screaming fans that were very vocal at the start of the game. And he just put his head
down.
Didn't
they stream out the act in that stream? And they showed a shot. And I was like, hang on, that when Hastings scored, I thought, well, the Knights might have a little bit of a sniff here. All the crowd had already left.
They didn't have they didn't have a chance there. They didn't have a chance. But no, he was something remarkable. Who else did you want to look at?
Zach Hosking, I think, again, what a signing. What a performance. Listened to a few interviews with him over the last couple of weeks. Fantastic bloke. I think if you were still in your role, Tim, in the media, I think he'd be someone you'd want to sign up for life.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
We need a nickname for Zach. What about Lumberjack Zach? Because he cuts everyone in half.
Love it.
He's just so good. His ability to, when he decides to commit to the tackle and he drives in, he was cutting people in half. And his decision-making in that crucial,
part of the defence is it's just to know that we've got him on one edge. It's so exciting, you know. So I'd have him, and I'd slowly bring Elliot back off the bench and just ease his back in.
Yeah, I think Elliot will. It's really tricky to know what to do with Elliot when he comes back. Does he share some minutes with Morgan Smithies at 13? But then, yeah, it's a tough one.
Depend on his calf, really, and calf injuries aren't easy, and they're niggly, and you got to trust them, and they're usually about 4 weeks. The good thing is now that we don't have to rush him back. We've got a more than adequate bargain basement, lumberjack just sitting out on that edge, scoring his first try, which is an awesome thing. He's already, you know, off the nudie run.
Yeah, so. Scored the first try.
He was impressive, and especially when Hutto went off for the sin bin, Zach Hosking, and I think it was Papa was on the field, but it might have been Atta, both stepped up in the way they attacked the game, and it was notable. You know, how well they did at that particular stage. And it's that sort of effort when you're under the pump for players to stand up and say, you know, I've got this, and clearly actually take the fight up to Simon, not sit back in their shell and say, I've got to defend now while he's off, but actually go for the juggler. And Zach Hosking did that and notably scored a try. So
yeah. One of the great things that Tarpany and I can't remember who was the other person. It might have been one of the other forwards actually.
You only watched this game twice. Oh, no, this is post-match.
It was post-match. Post-match,
okay. So
they both said that they couldn't believe how much talk there was from Hosking and Smithies in defence.
Yeah.
And to know that we've got two very vocal guys out there in our debut, that's really exciting, you know, because you do need those people, you know, telling young kids where to go, where to be, making sure that they, you know, they've got their mark up. And
especially in that position. Danny Levi. It's getting awfully crowded on Danny Levi Island after last Thursday night, mate. You've had to like set up, you know, start building a wall, I hear.
Yeah, we've spoken to.
And you're going
to
make the Green Machine podcast pay for it.
There's MAGA, Make America Great Again, Make Levi Island Great Again. Hello, Green Machine podcast. You can not come to Levi Island, you sons of bitches. Bloody hell. And Dan at the Sportress, write something nice about him, mate. All you could write about that try when he scored was that's bad market offence. Levi looked fitter than just about anyone on the field.
Yeah.
He played until he had to go off with that quad injury and had the eyes up play, not only to, you know, marshal his troops around, but then score under the post. That's the first time in that game that I started to relax. And and that's when I started to get crowded on Levi Island. We're going to have to start selling tickets.
Look, I'm still, you know, I still think Zach Wolford is a good player, but I think Danny Levi is definitely faster. He's definitely fitter. He definitely brings more energy. Like you said last week, I think, Matt, he really leads the line speed as well. And I think he just plays the style that suits how Ricky wants to.
He's a bit more vocal, I think. Although, I mean, I'm not out there, but it looks like he's a bit more vocal. But that leading the line is a huge part of it. If you watch that game again, Phoenix Crossland tries to lead the line and he rushes out of the line and misses a lot of tackles. And I actually thought Crossland was offside a lot, but he's bullying out and trying to knock down our guys. Where Levi, he rushes up real quick and then takes a couple of stutter steps and allows Papa or Smithies or Taps to catch up to him. Mm. And they hit the contact. His initial contact and defense is really, really strong. But if you watch on the camera, you'll see him. He's the first one up, but then he's not actually missing too many tackles. He's telling his teammates where to be in defense by leading the line and showing them this is where we're going to defend from. And I just think, look, he's not Harry Grant. And I'm not trying to tell anyone that he is. But
no.
I've just noticed we function a little bit smoother when he's on the field. And I would love to see Zach maybe even get another chance with us or another chance at another club. And I know there's a lot of people that probably listen to this that may even know him. And I'm not trying to belittle anyone that's played a minute of first grade because I dreamed of that as a kid and couldn't get anywhere near it. But I like the way that we play when Levi's out there. And I hope at least he has an injury-free year.
Yeah.
If he loses his spot because Zach Wolford comes on and gets better, then that's a good thing for us.
Yeah. Tom Starling. Again, I thought it had great impact off the bench. You know, we Tim sort of touched on before. I think the effort to force it was Marzi, was it? Who got forced?
Yeah, it was Greg Marzi coming out. Now Greg Marzi is a person who's actually terrorized us before. Last time we played him, he actually really went at us and ran over people, Connie Hurrell style, you know, that sort of thing.
Marzi might have had the most post contact meters last year in the comp.
Well, it wasn't what you were expecting. First, in that particular play we're talking about, Fogarty, who we'll get to, does a kick which finds the grass, number one. Two, is perfect length, doesn't go out. Marzu has to play at it and starts running out. The person who's passed the ball to Fogarty is Tom Starling. He runs back, gets behind Fogarty as he's kicking the ball, and then leads the chase down. And when Marzu comes out from between the sticks, who's he met with? The diminutive Starling comes out. Starling doesn't take a backward step, goes in, gets underneath his bread.
Well, he's got that low center of gravity and like ridiculously powerful legs, so he can get under people and lift them.
I've seen him do that in the past. Hey, like
it should have been a speed bump against this. It shouldn't have been a contest, but it is a contest. He picks him up and holds him there for a second. Marzi's thinking, what's going on? And then what happens? Big Papa comes in and irons him out. And the match, that's the point where I started thinking, I think we're going to win.
Do you know what's amazing about that effort that he did there to get behind the kicker, to put himself onside? That's not the only time he did that in the game. He did it numerous times. And to me, that shows how fit we must be. If you're a hooker in the second half, making more tackles than anyone on the field, passing and going backwards to get a kick chase, kick chasing is the shittest thing to do in rugby league. It sucks. When you're playing, it's like, it's hard. And teams that kick chase, you know, are fit and are working well together. And I can't quite remember last week's pod, but I know I was probably a little bit critical of Tom's form in the trials. I'm wrong. I'll eat my hat. He was fantastic on the weekend.
He made four runs and he made 10 meters on each run.
Each one. Yeah, he was fantastic, man. He was
He brings that energy. He brings that energy. And if we're wearing teams out and then you have him coming on off the bench, which is why I think he's Ricky's go-to 14. I mean, there's arguments for, other players like Hohepapuru and I guess Zach Wolford to a lesser extent, but I think he's got that spot on lock.
If he plays like that, he does, especially if we're playing through the middle and we've got a bigger, more impressive bench than most teams in the comp.
That's true, but we're going to come up against oppositions where Hohepo has really got to be there because he is a bigger unit. Right, he is a bigger unit, and we're going to need a bigger body against.
But he's bigger than Tom Starling, but he's not big. He's not.
Yeah,
big
but he's stretch. He plays big. He plays very.
Don't know about that one. A couple more players we quickly go over. Ethan Strange. Look, he didn't do much wrong. Most of his work was in defence. 25 tackles made. Jordan Rapana just kept on being Jordan Rapana at the back. Mm. Got a little bit gassed at the end, and Savage took over. A bit. Joe Tarpany, he had the C next to his name, which we didn't pick up when we did
we
the
didn't
team
pick
list.
Up at all.
We've been calling for it, but it was there and, you know, it was great to see. But Xavier Savage is the other player I wanted to talk out. And when the teams were made our name this week, we all knew that Seb Chris was going to go left center.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be a case of, I thought Hopewadi will go to one wing, and it was just going to be a case as to who would get the other wing spot. Whether it's going to be Nick Kotrich or Xavier Savage. And I was really happy to see Savage keep that spot. I mean, I didn't think when there was first talk that, you know, we could play him on the wing or we were going to turn him into a winger and all this stuff, I didn't think it was going to work out. I thought he was fullback or nothing. I thought he lacked the size and the power to play on the wing, and he'd get too easily ragdolled. And we saw teams consciously pick him up and drag him over the sideline in the past. But he was fantastic. And his pace really shone through in a couple of moments for me. One was the try. He got to the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, would Kotrick have got to the corner in that time? Maybe yes, maybe no. Would Hopewadi? I'm not so sure. But the other one time I noticed when he used his pace really well was when Chualo actually got past him on the outside and he just turned and just ran him down in like a matter
ran
of steps.
Him down. That was the moment where he sold me too. That was the moment I thought, because he got around him and you could see, oh my God. And then he just went back and said, no, you don't. And Tuala's not slow.
Yeah.
He's no slow coach. But Javier ran him down and ran him down with intent and pulled him down well. That's the sort of thing you really want to see from a player who's trying to hold the spot but they really care. They don't say, oh my God, and let it go. He says, I'm now going to go fix that. And, yeah. and I'm hoping we're seeing Javier start really paying dividends.
Oh, yeah. There was an interview during the week in NRL.com and said, you know, he's sort of emerged from a pretty dark time last year, but he's stronger and better for it. And look, he seems to have a lot more self-confidence and a lot more anger and aggression in the way he's playing. There were times in the past where he looked a bit scared, almost intimidated. Whereas you could really see
moments in that game on the weekend, wasn't there, where Safidi tried to intimidate him and jumped over him. Like, okay, mate, you're 110 kilogram prop standing over a winger, like, you idiot.
Yeah. But he stood up for himself. And I was pleased to see. He looked a bit angry.
Safidi did smash him, but he got straight back up. He didn't, you know, do the, you know, Josh Dugan and do the Mr. Glass, oh, I'm injured and I have to go off. He'd been rattled, but he got back up and he got straight back into it. And then he did a run two hit-ups later, you know.
We look like a team that's primed to at least put our best foot forward, and especially our fitness and our body size. I'm sure our skin folds, our fat mass, body mass is down as low as it's ever been as a club.
Well, speak
when you look at like Papali'i, he looks trimmer. And I like that they've rewarded Hopewadi on the wing. I think if you do look at the meters gained, he gained more meters than anyone outside of Tomoko on the weekend. Mm. He gained more post-contact meters, which is very important on the wing.
It's just runs, though, as well. Like, he takes twice as many runs as Nick Kotrick, and that's why Nick Kotrick loses his spot and Hopewadi keeps it, because Nick Kotrick's got so much talent and, you know, God-given ability, but he just doesn't seem to have the effort.
The hard thing
or the
with
minor.
Nick is Nick often plays on the right wing. And when Nick is doing those hard carries out of the hour and a half, he's often taking the ball out from the right wing, right? So he's cutting back to the left. And when he's cutting to the left off the ruck, he only has a right-hand ball carry. So he's running, you know, running towards the center of the field with the ball on the right-hand side. So he's actually opening up his body and getting tackled really easily. That's why he crabs a lot, as opposed to switching and being able to palm with the inside arm. And I was watching the replay, and every time he carries the ball, it's a right-hand carry. And when he's coming off the left wing...
Well, he used to play left wing outside.
Exactly.
When he was at his best.
That, yes. And it's like, and some of those barnstorming runs at Bruce Stadium were off the left wing, where now he's on the right. And it's just, I think it's, you know how he looks like he's getting cramped? He's getting caught up.
He looks
up
too top heavy or something. Or he always looks
I think a lot of it's got to do with the way that he's carrying the ball, because he's predominantly carrying the ball on the side that's getting hit by the tackler, and that can't be easy to untrain. So I'm excited to. I know there's a lot of fans that are a little bit curious about Hopper, but I'm excited to have at least our meter readers on the field. You know, we've got Chris Hopper, we've got Tomoko, and now Savage, and we're going to need those guys, because clearly Rapper with his old man legs and cigarette pack, he needs a little bit of a rest. So
allegedly, have you seen him on the bungers? I've told my Isaac Leake story. I've told my Isaac Leake story many times on this podcast over the years. I don't know if you've ever heard it, Matt, but when the Warriors were due to play in Canberra, it would have been about 2015, 2016. And I've walked out the back of the shop into the alleyway behind it to take some rubbish. And there's this bloke just standing, it was raining a bit, standing there smoking a cigarette. And I was like, fuck, that's Isaac Leake.
Mate, if it's good enough for Chigga Ferguson, it's good enough
and then
for anyone, brother.
That was the game, I think, that we won in Golden Point. And Isaac Leake like kicked a conversion like right on full time from the sideline to like send us to Golden Point, and we just won.
Well, you know, Chigga used to smoke cigarettes, and he also used to sleep in the sheds and then have to wake him up.
Oh, before the game.
That has to be a fair while ago, because the filthy storeroom, you can't get near the back door, let alone
I go out the front. So we should get on to, this is coming quite a long podcast, get on to our man of the match for the game. And all sensible judges with an eye for rugby league picked Jamal Fogarty. But you, Tim, you had a different take.
I thought Jamal Fogarty was absolutely fantastic. Do not get me wrong. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I loved
him. Do you not think he was the difference between the two sides? His kicking game was probably the difference between the two sides. I mean, other differences.
Like I said last week, it's going to come down to Jamal's kicking game.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's what happened. Like,
look, his kicking game was absolutely fantastic. I loved it. I thought it was great. in that match, there was a few times when the arm wrestle was on, the battle was very, very hot. Things were extremely willing, and one Raider raised up and consistently made a difference. He consistently caused havoc and really imposed himself, and that was Josh Papali'i. He was magnificent in everything he did. It's one of the best matches I've seen him play for a long, long time. And he made less meters than Joe Tarponet, right? He also played
about 20 less minutes than Joe Tarponet.
Yeah.
The impact he had, the stuff that he did, the leading from the front, saying, I'm here, I'm Josh Papali'i, and hear me roar. And they did. He subdued their pack at points where their pack was really trying to rally, and he just put them back. And it was really brought home to me, for Starling held Marzu up, but Papa came in on that chase at the end of the match when came in at a million miles an hour and ironed out Marzu, ironed him out. And you watch, if you go back in the replay, all the Knights' heads go down. And yeah, Starling, there were so many good things about that bit of play. But what was really there was Papa was there and just said, I am an enormous unit and I don't care. I'm going to iron you out and you're going back in the end goal. And he did. And far be it from anybody to say a little bit of Papa, you know, worship is a bad thing, because it's not. He was my player.
You're entitled to your opinion.
How exciting is it that we're getting late season or state of origin Papa at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
For years, we were watching him and we're like, oh, it's going to take 6 weeks till he gets match fit. Well,
because he never had to do the preseason. This is his first like proper preseason where he hasn't been like doing like the buffet, you know, through December and January. He's actually been ripping in. And
he looks like a young 2012, 2013.
Still Jamal. The man of the match is still Jamal.
Yes, and Jamal Fogarty, $10 gift voucher at Landspeed Records.
Unfortunately,
it's only $10 now.
In this economy, at times
the economy is biting, mate.
Cost of living. Yeah, business is terrible. Business is terrible. What can I say, mate?
Come in and get a voucher.
I think, you know, Jamal, maybe I reckon you're going to get a few this year. Maybe bank him, because you can't get much for $10 these days anyway. So just let them build up and then come pick them up all at once. You know, before they expire, because all the ones from last year, which the players didn't come and pick up, and the year before, unfortunately, they're no longer valid because they've expired now.
His kick could end up being, and they'll start noticing it in the Sydney press, his kick could end up being the biggest kick in the comp. Some of his kicks in that game,
they were massive.
Were massive, like bigger than Burton. Massive.
But you know they weren't. This time last year, they weren't that big. Me and my son are both big fans of Jamal's kicking game, and we'll really closely watch him in the warm up. And his kicks, as the year went on last year, now into this year, his kicks have gotten better. There's more variation. There's more height. Yeah, his kicking game has just gone to strength to strength. But you know, Ricky Stewart destroys every halfback. So
yeah, you were saying in the chat during the match, Matt, that you thought they changed the shape of the ball and they're going further as a result.
Yeah, there was some press just pre Vegas where the ball's gotten a little different shape. It's a little rounder and a little heavier. And I haven't been able to find it since. But my old man was complaining about it, like an old rugby league player would. And I markedly noticed a huge difference in the way that the ball's being kicked. You know, what was interesting is the Newcastle Knights guys couldn't kick it that well. They weren't getting any more than what they would have maybe a year ago. But Jamal was kicking it to the heavens. And friends of mine who were quite high in the stadium were texting me going, what is going on with his boot? Like, they couldn't handle it. And it's going to be noticeable when you go to the game, because obviously it's hard to see on the TV screen, but you guys will see it this weekend. And he's just, not only is he kicking it high, he's got it on a string. And who caught more tries off kicks off Jamal last year? Sebby Chris.
Sebby Chris is back. Put him down for a meat pie.
There you go.
Yeah, indeed.
We should start talking about the Tigers game. Tim, do you want to go through the teams for us?
Yeah, well, the teams, it's a very, very exciting time, because as we know, there's only one change from the Raiders from last week, and that is Seb Chris coming back from his elongated suspension, which was a fair enough suspension, I do have to say, but, you know, it was treated slightly differently to other players and what he was able to get back, I guess. But he comes back into that centre spot. So the team reads as follows. At the back, we've got Jordan Rapana again. Albert Hopewadi goes to the number two in the wing. On the other wing is Javier Savage, who did very well, to, you know, holding his spot on form. In the centres, we have the wonder duo of Matt Timico and Seb Chris. We didn't talk about Matt Timico last week. 179 metres. He's a machine. Like,
and 80 of those metres were post-contact.
Yeah.
And just out straight.
Then he didn't get that much good ball either. Most of it, like, he does so much work from our own end.
There was a couple of times he did some really dirty runs because they really put us under pressure, and then he'd come in.
You know, one thing that I've noticed about him too is that the referees are noticing that his leg strength is so strong that they're not actually calling held on him early.
Yeah.
They're letting him go because you can't put him down.
Mm.
There was one instance in particular that he just kept walking and they couldn't put him down.
And that's why they call him three knees.
Three knees.
It's what happened last year with Tarpany. They weren't calling held early because no one could stop him. So hopefully that continues.
Yeah, well, and then we've got in the halves, we've got Dr. Strange coming back. Is it his first game at 5-8 at Canberra Stadium? I think it is. He's,
yeah.
Yep.
And then we've got first time, because he's only played one of the first game before, and that was in Melbourne in the centres.
Yeah, right. And then we got Jamal Fogarty in the seven, doing brilliantly. The front row has been named as Tarpanate with the C next to his name, and Josh Papalihi with Danny Levi in between them. Second row, as last week, Hudson Young, Zach Hosking. Then at number 13, the big unit from Wigan, Morgan Smithies. The interchange, Starling, Gula, Mariota, and Sami Solo. Also had a great match. Now, West Tigers, there's
who,
so many
just before,
stars.
Sorry, Matt. Sorry, Tim. Before you go into the West Tigers, who is going to miss out when Corey Horsburgh comes back? Unless someone's injured, who drops? Like, Sami Solo is looking so much bigger and more mobile. And
he is. At the moment,
running harder.
At the moment, I say it's Gula.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd say Solo.
And that's unfair, but that's the situation the coach wants to be in. Rick, I'll say this to you. He wants to be in a position where he has to tell someone who doesn't deserve to get a harsh message. Turkish Slide, apart from the hip drop, I thought did pretty well in the mat. It'd be
he missed one tackle that led to a try, but that certainly wasn't his fault.
Look, Hudson Young was off the
field.
Of course, I'm going to get to that.
Okay. I think it probably comes down to the team that we're playing against. If you remember that game against the Cowboys last year, Solo was probably our best on the field, and defensively, he's probably has a bit more impact in the middle. He'll make more tackles with less misses. He's a little bit faster, where Emre's a little bit bigger. So I imagine it depends on the pack we're playing. And
yeah,
if Solo keeps playing like that and finding his front and having that pace, I think he'll probably keep his position.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, well, there's so much competition in that particular zone. If you've got a hold on at the moment, you would hear the footsteps and feel the breath.
Oh, that was actually some other feedback on last week's show as well. Was you guys saying that there's never been so much strength and depth in the club. Definitely not in recent times there hasn't been.
In the NRL era. Okay, so for the West Tigers, we've got Jareem Bulla at fullback, and he's done all right against
us.
He's
a quality player.
He's good. One wing, we've got Charlie. It's starting to be a little bit of a Penrith Panthers departure lounge here. They've got Charlie Staines on the wing. On the other side, ex-Raider Junior Tupou, he's got a fair bit.
He's a very good player, Junior Tupou, and there were strong rumours over the summer that he was going to return to the Raiders. He was going to re-sign for the Raiders, but he's going to the Dolphins or Titans? Where's he going?
I think he's going to the Dolphins, yeah. So I wanted him to come back. He was a highly touted junior out of Eddie's, rugby player, arguably one of the better schoolboys that they'd seen in rugby for a very long time. And Balmain poached him. And then I was really hoping to see him back. But, I mean, I wouldn't have him over Chris or Tomoko. So, like, I guess if he wants to play first grade, he's asking for first grade money. We're not going to fight that, which is that's one of the other good things.
You'd see him in the centres, though, not as a winger? Because I thought maybe they were looking at him to replace Nick Kotrick, because Blake Stradamus. Nick Kotrick will not be the club in 2025. That's my prediction right now.
Mm.
Yeah, I said it last week too. I don't think
he's going to be. Nah. Last year of a big money contract, and I can't, unless he's prepared to take a very serious haircut, a very major haircut, I can't see why you'd keep him. And
they might sign him on less, but they'll probably try and put that money towards Trey Mooney.
Yeah.
You know, towards Sanders.
Schiller's unsigned, right? Trey Mooney's unsigned. And I would say right now, both of those two would be more immediate re-signing priorities than Nick Kotrick. And I think post Nick Kotrick, I think that the club will have learned a lesson that paying $500,000-$600,000 for a winger just doesn't make any sense. I mean, he's probably on more than just about everyone else currently, except maybe Jamal's on more now, his new deal, than the people in our spine.
Yeah.
Here's a Blake Stradamus. So Rapana will end up probably going to the wing. So that pushes probably Hopewadi back to reserve grade because Savage is just going to get better and better. And then you've got Nick Kotrick, Asamoah, and Hopewadi all in reserve grade.
Hopewadi playing centres.
You'll play in the centres, but I bet you if there's injuries in first grade on the wing, Asamoah comes up before Kotrick comes back up.
Maybe. Yeah, Rick said to me, Coach said to me last year that Asamoah was going to play first grade this year.
Yeah. But this is my point as well, is you don't pay $600,000 for a winger because there's always a Hopewadi, there's always an Asamoah, there's always one of these guys that can come up and do the job. I mean, wings probably, you know.
Look at Penrith. Penrith are not overpaying to keep Burton, to keep Crichton, to keep whoever it might be out on the edges. They're letting him go. And then suddenly the next one is Tunga or it's Taylor May or it's, you know, there's a whole litany of those guys that are strong, hard and, you know, willing to do those.
Yeah, and look, Semi Valame, wingers and outside backs are more, you know, they're a lot easier to find than nines and sevens.
Halfbacks and nines, yeah.
Yeah.
So who's...
All right, so talking about centres, in the centres for the West Tigers, we've got Stafford Toa and Solomona Fa'atape.
Debut. Never heard of him before. He's making his debut. All the people that play Supercoach will know who he is, but I don't know.
Can you say his name again, Tim? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Tim's going to be back on ABC this weekend, so he's got to practice all of these names.
Solomona Fa'atape.
Spoiler alert.
It's going to get announced.
That's a real spoiler, and you're going to have to edit that one out. Unbelievable. Anyway,
how are you going to pronounce the Canberra Raiders winger's name?
That's a very good question.
The Canberra Raiders winger. Ex-Javier.
Javier on air. Javier.
Oh God, you'll get complaints.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I'll ring up and complain.
It won't be the first time. It won't be the last. Anyway, then in number six jersey for them is young Lachlan Galvin, right?
Again, now, debut.
He's making his debut. We've heard stuff about him.
Oh, look, he's supposed to be a very good, like, coming through the juniors, he's supposed to be fantastic, but, you know, it's doesn't immediately translate to, you know, and one of the things you don't want to do is rush kids in. But I guess we've got, you know, Dr. Strange playing six as well, who's
that's right. Know, then you've got Jaden Sullivan in the seven jersey. Now, I wouldn't have picked him for a seven, but, I mean, he has a go, Jaden Sullivan, you know, so he has a go. In the pack, they got Stefano Utokamanu in the eight, and they got David Klemmer in the 10. Now, that is a useful front row. Is it up again? You know, how's it going to go against Papali'i?
I mean, on paper, the Tigers pack looks quite good.
Oh, it's very good. So after you've got that. You got Appy Coruscant in you know, locking it down as hooker. He's a good hooker, you know, New South Wales hooker. In the second row, you got Isaiah Papali'i, who's great. Johnny Bateman, well, you know, we've had a segment on this show about why we love John Bateman before, so we're not going to. And then Alex Seyfarth, probably the weakest link in that. So put your money on him as your try scorer this week.
Seyfarth or Klemmer? Klemmer's overrated, mate. Newcastle realised that.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, and one of the most important, this is where Penrith, that's where they do it perfectly. One of the most, and we're getting better. And I actually feel like the Raiders suffered because we actually locked down a lot of our forward in contracts the year before Vlandy's ball. But what changed is speed of the ruck and speed of the play the ball. David Klemmer, he gets these slow play the balls, post contact meters. It's like watching like late era Paul Gallen. I would love to play against him because you can hold the ball up. He's tall. He's gigantic.
Yeah, he's
and
big,
the line can get set. It's and he's not going to break the line.
Yeah, like look, he's He's an elite plotter. He's a plotter of the, like, there's plotters, mate, but he's, like, he's one of the very good plotters.
Where Fisher and, Harris plays it like touch, like he's trying to get contact and then hit the ground.
I know. The other thing that David Clemmer is not nearly as effective since they clamped down on him lifting his knee into every single tackle.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, it's like you said on paper, it's not a bad forward pack. But that's not a great
side. Rugby league's not played on paper.
No, okay, but then
played on grass.
Off their side, you go to the bench. Welcome back to Canberra Raiders legend and 2019 grand finalist, Aiden Caesars in the 14 jersey.
See, Ricky was right. His best position, bench hooker. Benji Marshall knows it too. He's only a part-time coach.
Do you know, Tim?
Then you've got Fanua Pole in the 15 jersey, Alex Twoll, who I really quite like in the 16 jersey, and you got Samuela Fainu. Now, he's one of the Fainu brothers, is he not?
Yeah. Stabby.
Yeah. Speaking of...
But he's not the stabby one.
No, his brother is.
No, he's still in jail. Speaking of we were talking about the bungers before. Tim once told me a story that he was stole some bungers off Aiden Caesar's mum. Is that true?
I didn't steal. I bludged a bunger off his mum. Out the back of Leichhardt Oval Stadium. We had a singing together and a good talk. She's a lovely lady. We had a nice time. That was the 2016 match with the Leilua flick pass behind his back.
I reminded
Caesar of that. You know, I told Caesar about it. He was not happy that I had a ciggy with his mum. And for the kids listening out there, don't smoke, okay? Stupid pork, stupid. Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. Silly old boomer.
Anyway, now we have to get to the section that everyone loves. The extended bench. Who's on the extended bench? And this week, there's a lot of Hardwicks out there. So we got in the 18 jersey for the Raiders, we got Nick Kotrick. Now he's got to be a Hardwick and a half.
Well, he's played for Australia and New South Wales, isn't he?
Yeah, that's definitely... maybe two Hardwicks. But I have a problem before you go on to the rest of our Hardwicks. I have a problem with an outside back, and not even just an outside back, but like a specialist winger, because they tried him in the centres in Canterbury and it didn't work. Being our 18th man, when you've got Hoepapuru who can cover multiple positions. You've got KO Weeks who can cover multiple positions. And they used to do it because the 18th man wouldn't play reserve grade. Our 18th man played reserve grade last weekend. Yeah. So I don't know whether they can this weekend, but I...
They take them off at half time because reserve grade's before the game. Don't they sometimes
reserve grade is before the game. Look, Nick's in the 18 jersey. He's two Hardwicks. KO Week is in the 19. And he's half Hardwick, so it's up two and a half. Simi Sasagi, half a Hardwick, so up three. Zach Wolford, he's got to be a Hardwick. Come on.
Hardwick.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're up to four. And then Trey Mooney, Hardwick.
Half a Hardwick.
No, bugger that. Trey's a Hardwick.
He's only played like three games, man.
I don't give a crap.
He scored a try in an NRL final.
Then for them in the 18, they got Kapoa in the 18 jersey. Then a bloke called Talon De Silva.
Talon De Silva's good. So he's their next hooker to come through. He's actually a really good player, yeah.
Now, then they've got Justin Matamua in the 20 jersey, Alex Lobb in the 21 jersey, and then finally a player that I recognised is Jake Simpkin in the 22 jersey. The Raiders win that extended bench by the length of the straight, which is there. But it's now time for Pork Smokey, because in this we, you know, I will tell you what's going to happen. Now, nothing's going to happen. I don't see any change in that. But the Pork Smokey is Pork is, in fact, as Matthew's already spoiled, is off the extended bench this week because young Sammy Williams has to go off and play in the 3 o'clock timescale this weekend. Can't come. And the Pork's been pulled off the extended bench to come and do the sideline for ABC Radio. So, yeah, Pork Smokey.
You get to keep that pass. You've actually... Because I was saying in the past, you aren't actually on the ABC anymore. So I wondered how you managed to keep that media press all access pass. Big question on everyone's lips is, will you be attending the post-match press conference?
Absolutely, I will. Absolutely,
And have you already got your opening question for Ricky?
No, but I've got a few themes up there. You can guarantee it's going to be something positive and it's going to be something that, you know, you can seize on and
can you like my Facebook request?
I don't think he knows.
Jeez, Rick. Morgan Smithies. He's another tough pom, isn't he? Oh, yeah, Timo.
That's
yeah,
a good idea.
I might use that. See, that's correct. Yeah.
Ladies and gents, if you do listen to the post-match, the Fox guys get the first question, maybe the first two.
Matt Russell
will take the first question, and then it always goes to Pork. He's usually two or three.
I've done the first question when Russell had to go off and take his wife out for their anniversary dinner. And he had to leave right that moment. So he gave me the two questions and I did the Fox questions for him.
Yeah. That so there's usually a Fox question. And then if you listen like in the second minute, you'll get
it's their microphone. It's their microphone. So they,
Yeah. No, it's good. It depends on the result. If the Raiders have had a good win, then there's no need for the Pork to Dorothy Dixer. But
they're going to win. Otherwise. The thing about.
Well,
they're
here's
win.
The thing. Here's some statistics from that, Matthew. I've been doing a little bit of delving. And of the last 15 games against the West Tigers, the Raiders have won 13. The West Tigers have won 2. The last time they won against the Raiders was 8 games ago, round 22 of 2018. Now, let me read you out some of the Raiders players that were in the squad that day. We got Murchie was in the team that day. A Bateman, not John Bateman, but Luke Bateman was in the side. Brad Abbey and Blake Austin were in that side on that particular day. But we've won the last 7 straight. And the scores have been ridiculous in the Raiders' favour. Now, a few of the results have been quite tight, but when they haven't been tight, they've been blowouts. They've even been really tight or an absolute blowout. But this is the interesting thing. As a player, Benji Marshall only lost 1 game. The very last
Well, this is
game,
the thing. Right? This is what I was thinking. Is this going to be your question?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a question? Are you going to go to the press conference?
Yeah.
Benji's press conference and say, yeah. Benji, you're not used to tasting defeat at Canberra Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. That, I think that's
good. How does that one feel?
You know, now you've started coach like you did as a player and you've won, you know, so I've thought about it from both angles there. But
Although
there was
the one thing after you, mate.
There was an interesting article that came out today that basically said Benji's refusing to do full-time coaching hours and is turning up about 2 or 3 hours after his other coaches because he's refusing to be a full-time coach and actually immerse his life into it. And apparently one of the staff or / players heard about this thing and said, oh, that's not going to fucking end well. Yeah, anyway,
Bulldog Richie spoke about that. But that's the other thing. The Sydney press are trying, like they've turned on him, I think. But they're also, it's funny how everyone's like, oh, Benji's the wonder kid coach and he's the coach this year and all. It's going to be this year and all the players are saying, you know, Benji this year. If you watch any of the games that Balmain or West Tigers played last year, Benji was the coach.
Yeah.
Every time absolutely. They cut up to the box, Tim Sheens was standing there and Benji was the one barking orders. And he would have been the one setting up the game plans. Sheens took that job just to take the media flack off Benji to give him 1 year with the training wheels on. And it's that, look, you don't ever want to sound too cocky, especially as Raiders fans. But it's got to be 13 plus this weekend, the way that we look and we play. And that back line, I'm looking at it, and it looks like they look young and not lambs to the slaughter, but geez, man, Jaden Sullivan into that Galvin. And then you've got, you know, another rookie at
center
in the center. And then you've got Charlie Staines, who doesn't like to tackle on the wing. So I would think I would want nothing than a 13 plus win in our first home game. But the most important thing, which is going to be tricky for us, is we're a backs to the wall grinding kind of team mentally. And this is a team that would have seen the lineup and expected to win. So it's up to the coaching staff to get our players into a mentality where we can perform when we are favourites. And we haven't always done well in that, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a real, real interesting watch this weekend. Is they proved a lot to themselves last weekend, and they stuck to their structures in that second half for the first 20 minutes of the second half by just kicking to the corners, trusting your defence, and you're fitter and stronger than that other team. You will come over them in the end, and it happened. And I got a feeling it'll happen again because if you know what it's like when you expect to win. I see it with my son, like in sport. If something doesn't go wrong and something's slightly rotten within, it starts to fall apart. I don't see that in this side. So I feel like we're going to definitely see a, a,
a dominant performance. And I would think, you know, we put on 24, 26 points, 28 even. And, man, I'd be surprised if they score more than 4 or 8. So,
yeah.
Well, one of the things you said, again, in the chat last week, Matt, that really rang true to me was it's not what they're going out with is not going out with the idea of playing flashy or trying to attack. It really is in the first couple of rounds going into the grind and grinding out matches, not worrying about it, banking points, grinding out matches like Melbourne did. They had no intention of doing anything flashy. They did the basics well. They ground out the match and they challenged the Knights to try and get through that. And the Knights didn't. I think, and I will not be surprised at all, if they do exactly the same thing against West Tigers, the question is, will West Tigers actually fold in front of them or will they also get into the grind? And it's going to be, it's either going to be a blowout or a close win one way or another.
West Tigers will not, they won't get into the grind. They'll do the willy-nilly like they did last year. And there was two close games last year. There was that one game up at Campbelltown where Jamal Fogarty had the field goal where his leg got kicked and then we got the penalty afterwards. And it was the other game.
The no Jared game.
And then the other game down at Canberra where the Seb Chris forward pass, which got us, we were on top of that game. And then they had that break down the right-hand side where Luke Brooks threw that huge pass. They got back in the game. And then we won it with a forward pass, which was
completely Luke Brooks had a great game.
He played great against us last year in both games. And Jerome Buller plays off the back of him. Now, the only way Buller is going to actually be as effective off the back of a Luke Brooks is going to be off the back of Jaden Sullivan. So it's going to be a really interesting watch. John Bateman's going to probably play out of his skin. But aside from that, if you just lock down Papali'i, because he's a hard ball runner, he's going to hit that inside shoulder every time. And I think Hoskin can handle him. I think it's on that side. If not, Hutto will handle him on our... No, it is going to be Hoskin. So I personally see us... Yeah, having a great day out. And it's going to be an afternoon game. I hope we get a huge
get there early. New South Wales Cup beforehand. And is it Flegs before that as well? You've heard from us. You've heard our views on the game. But now we should really hear from the man, the expert on the show, the guy that has all the answers. You know, some people mocked his calls last week, but they were pretty perfect.
They were.
Stop Ponga. Watch Tyson Frizzell.
Yeah.
Both those things definitely applied. So
Absolutely true. It's time to rip in with Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. What a wonderful win last week. We get to walk on cloud 9. And the next thing we need to worry about is Saturday afternoon. The Knights made way too many errors and we played mistake-free footy and we killed them with our kick chase. If we bring the same grit and determination, we will be competitive most weeks. Scoring enough points will be our challenge, but hopefully that'll come in time. As far as our kick chase goes, I imagine it will be more of the same. We need to stop Appy and Jareem Buller, and the rest should take care of themselves as far as their strike in attack. There is a spruik on this Galvin kid, but I have not seen him before. So we will see how he goes. So let's win the middle battle again. We get early ball to the edges. Hosking and Hudson Young were excellent last week, as was Savage and Timacore. Chris is also back, which is a big in for us. The weather outlook looks pretty good as far as the heat goes, and that should help us as well. If Ricky can get the same enthusiasm from the team on Saturday, then I expect us to win again. Have a great weekend of footy and go, you green machine.
He's bang on. He's bang on again. But if you are impressed...
he's talking sense. When people don't like him, it's because they don't like people who talk it straight and talk sense.
Yeah, simple, to the point. If you like it simple and to the point, maybe don't follow me on Twitter. Because some of the shit he posts is deeply disturbing. I had to look up what... one of the things he was talking about the other day, and I really wish I hadn't. And now that's probably on my Google search history. I'm going to start getting recommended ads.
Was this what he was talking about, pegging or blumkey?
The first one. I don't know what the second one is. I had to look up that one, and no, it doesn't involve pegs. So I was wrong for all these years.
Well, he's been inside the joint a couple of times, so
The big house.
Surprising. Yeah.
The big house. Now it's time for the segment that got a lot of feedback on this segment last week as well. Apparently, the harmonies never sounded better.
Already.
Who's gonna live?
That was pretty
beautiful.
Good.
That was sensational. My who's gonna lift is Hudson Young. I mean, he's such a good player. He's so energetic. He plays so hard, but he can sometimes overstep the mark. And look, you know, we can argue whether or not he should have gone to the bin for the Ponga hit, but it was unnecessary, you know, and he's someone that does have a target on him. Yeah, you know,
exactly. He's got precedent. So even if through Raiders' eyes, we're like, oh, he didn't get his face, everyone else would think that he deserved 10. So he has to go 10, 15, 20% the other way to not get busted.
And look, you know, we did pretty well to not concede too many points while he was in the bin. But that try that I said was Emre Guler's fault, which obviously wasn't. That Emre Guler was defending where Hudson Young should have been. And he got beaten by Tyson Rizell. And if Hutto's there, I reckon he stops him, you know, and we don't concede that try. So correct. Hudson, fantastic player. We absolutely love him. We love his passion. We love that other teams and fans don't particularly like him.
Yeah.
But he's just got to just be, you know, he's already reined in a bit of his hot-headed stuff, but he's just got to rein it in a little bit more.
Well, he's going to have a real challenge for that this week because who's he up against, of course? His old mate and one of his biggest fans.
Yeah.
Johnny Bateman. And if anyone knows how to push a button, it's Johnny Bateman.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's a big thing. My who's got a lift is not because he particularly had a bad game. I don't think he did. But Ethan's had his first game. Dr. Strange had his first game in the number six jersey. He's gone around. We've had a win, and it's good. He didn't do anything particularly wrong. He didn't do anything particularly right. Now is the time for Ethan to start saying, right, I've had a settler. You know, I've had a look. Now I'm going to start chancing my arm and a bit more of the Ethan. I'd like to see a little bit more of him being not, I'm just out here getting my sea legs, but just trying things, not going out, not trying to run the game, not trying to overplay his hand, but just try a few things. I want to see him try a few things.
The thing is, Jamal is like by far, you know, now well and truly dominant half. So, you know, it wasn't wasn't going to Strange that much. And it probably won't again this week. But, you know, if there's a bit of broken play or...
Yeah, they really didn't give him any ball in the first half. We just let him tackle. And then, but then when he had to make that pass in the second half, they did really well. Mine, you know, but I guess we're starting to see, hopefully, what we see with Ethan Strange is what happened with Tom Dearden at the Cowboys when, after a few weeks, Chad Townsend was running the club and allowed Dearden to get a bit more freedom and actually start running. You know, like having a dominant half can allow a 5'8 to find their feet over a period of rounds, and that was hard with Jack because I love Jack, we all do, but he's such a peculiar player in the halves that
he's not a game manager. He never was a game manager.
He was a centre. Yeah, but
Rick always knew he was a centre.
I wonder about Ethan though. Like I watch him run, I do wonder if he's a half. I know he prefers 5'8", but I do wonder if that's going to be his position long term. And who knows? There are smarter people at the club than me. Mine's it's kind of hard. Like you think about it, like it's everyone played pretty exceptional on the weekend. So mine's probably Guler or Solo, because if you think about it, Horsburgh's coming back. So those two, one of them has to lift. Yeah. Or else you're going to lose your spot. So we have
those guys aren't going to get big minutes though. If you got Smithy's playing 80 or close to it, you got Joey Taps is going to play between, you know, 55, 60 minutes. They're not going to get very big. There's always going to be those guys that are probably only going to get 20 minutes.
Yep.
Each, really.
Yeah, you're right. But I just want to see one of them have a huge impact. Because Adam Mariota's definitely got his spot now. And it's funny, you know, like I could say Levi again. You could say Fogarty, Strange. You could even say Seb Chris, it's his first game. So it's one of those. I don't think anyone has to lift except for the whole club.
Maybe I'm looking forward to seeing Seb Chris in the centres, because before he got suspended, he was on fire.
That one game at Bruce, he was the best player on the field. That first half, incredible. He was lighting it up.
Yeah. And with with Xavier Savage outside him, I think, yeah, I think Seb is a sort of center that can really provide good ball, you know, good offloads, good opportunities for a quick man outside him. So I think that combination could be the new Leipano. It could be the new Dorgerson. It could be something really exciting.
Oh, my God. So what's it going to be? How, what are you going to actually call it? If you're referencing the Dorgerson and Leipano, you've actually got to have the name to go with it.
Privilege.
I think we can do, I think we'll send us in your suggestions, people. Send us in your suggestions. And whoever comes up with the best suggestion, you might find yourself a listener of the week. And another way you can become listener of the week is by buying a Raiders by 56 beanie.
You can.
There's just a handful left. Head over to landspeed.com.au or even to search Raiders by 56 beanie.
Be one of the first to buy the beanie before this weekend's Raiders by 56.
Exactly. So we've got two listeners this week, listeners of the week this week, Steve Hicks and David Guesty Guest. I don't know that his nickname is Guesty, but Danny Stewart thought it should be. So we'll call you Guesty, David. Raiders review with Blake and the Pork merchandise. There's heaps aside from beanies. You can get it all at rugbyleaguemerch.com. The If You Hate Jordan Rapana, I Hate You shirt has absolutely, Rapana has absolutely blown up. The guys, Chris and Adam from the Raiders on Mixed call team actually bought shirts and wore them.
It's a great call
t-shirt. Last week. Yeah. And it's everywhere. And in fact, there's now another shirt along similar lines to that one. If You Hate Hudson Young, I Hate You, which was requested by Kaz on Twitter. And thing about Scotty Rugby League merch is he's like Peter Vlandis.
Yeah.
He makes things happen.
He'll bring you what you want.
You tell him what you want and he'll give it to you.
Now, I should also say Raiders Review with Blake the Book are in negotiations with the Raiders on Mix of a cross-sponsorship package. We can't say too much at this stage, but at this stage we are encouraging you to listen to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork podcast. Okay, just that's all we can say at this stage.
Now you mean you are encouraging to listen to Raiders Mix?
That's not what I said.
Before we move on, I know we're into our fifth hour. But I spent a little bit of time doing a deep dive on the ladder, and maybe everyone here can do it too. I have a feeling that now that we've got three buys, the club might be looking at the season in a different way than we used to and trying to break it up and like allowing fitness regimes to work towards certain schedules and, you know, like getting someone to do their debut at a certain time or whatever it might be. And We benefited last year off getting buys at good times. This year it's slightly different. We play 9 games before our first buy. Then we play 3. We have a buy. We play 4, and we have our last buy. Then we play 8. So think about it. We have a really big start to the year, and then a really big finish to the year.
Mm.
The schedule at the end of the year is tough. We play the blue ribbon teams. We play the Roosters. You know, the Souths, the Storm, the Brisbane's, all those sort of clubs. The beginning of the year on paper is a little bit softer. And I do wonder whether the club looked at that and said, we need to bank points. We need to come out really fit. And we need to try and win as many games in the first 9 and have our players fit and ready going week 1. So that's why our two most crucial positions, Rapana and Fogarty, didn't play in the trials. And we looked primed. You know, we now play Balmain, then we play the Warriors away, which will be tough. We play the Sharks twice in that first 9 weeks, which is critical. And I think we also play the Dolphins at some point. But then we get, if you imagine it, you know, you're trying to get these guys who are fit and performing at a high performance level, their body's right, they get a week off. A week off is critical later in the year. So we have 9, then 3, then 4, then 8. So I think this first block and the last block is obviously what's going to determine, because you can kind of manage in those shorter blocks. And I just, there's something different about us this year. We look different. And it can't, every year we hear they're fitter, they're stronger, the harder.
But there was we did have a new strength and conditioning
coach
person. Oh, is it the same guy as last year though? Because one of the guy we had previously went to Wayne.
Mm-hmm. He did.
To be with the Dolphins.
But so it's they did just by,
that answer. Yeah, so maybe the guy we've got this year, we should actually know this, was here the previous year as well. It's interesting, we won't be affected by Origin, I think, much at all this year. I don't see Hudson Young getting a spot in the Blues team. I think Colin Matangi and probably Ola Kuatu would be...
Liam Martin.
Yeah, well, Liam Martin's going to play as well, yeah, and then probably Cameron Murray, they should play at 13 instead of...
Yeah.
And then Horse is no guarantee to play for Queensland. He's no guarantee.
He'll play for Queensland. Don't you be talking him down. Don't you moz him. Horse will play.
He played game three in a... Already dead won rubber. Series, like and he's missed the first three or four games of the season. I'd be surprised if he makes. Don't get me wrong, I want him to make it, but I don't even have him starting in our side in the first week back because he's not going to be fit enough. Like,
nah.
And I'm glad for that. And the other thing that I noticed, not just about the state of origins, and we also only play one team coming off a bye in the entire season, which is fantastic.
This week we're playing a team.
I guess two teams. Then we play Manly, Manly in round 23, but. Yeah, I don't know if this is... You don't want your bye week one because you're not resting up. You know, you want your bye when you can rest up some of those niggling injuries or maybe send your team to Bali, Bradman Best. So this last year's draw, I think, was better in the way that our byes fell. And I know that I reckon they've looked at this first block and they're attacking probably the season in thirds, and this is the first third that they're aggressively going after. And if we can be in the top six after the first nine rounds, then you know, then you reevaluate and you go from there.
Well, what's interesting on the draw is that not until we get to the Broncos, which is quite a number of matches, not until then do we play a side which is more rested than us. In a lot of cases, they're either exactly the same amount of resting and traveling, or we've actually had more. I can't remember the last time we've had that in the other
neither rounds. Neither can I.
So coming up, we've got, of course, this Saturday, the West Tigers at 3 p.m. at home. Get there early.
Yeah, because the Reds are playing from 11:30.
Yeah, and there's heaps of players to watch. Chevy Stewart, you know, Trey Mooney.
Ohepapuru. James Schiller.
Yeah, there's plenty of players to get excited about in that New South Wales Cup team. And then after that, we're going to New Zealand. Matt, when are you leaving?
I actually leave tomorrow, but that game is going to be in Christchurch too. So they're taking, which I'm glad, you know, because Eden Park's a very formidable stadium. And I know the Sharks won there on the weekend, but I don't think they deserve to. I thought that first 25, 30 minutes, New Zealand looked as good as anyone I've seen. And I'm kind of glad in a way that even though I was going for New Zealand, I'm kind of glad in a way that the Sharks won because I think we're going to finish above the Sharks this year. And I'm not as confident saying that about New Zealand. So for having New Zealand drop some points, it's probably a good thing. We play them in Christchurch.
Yeah, that's the coveted 6 p.m. time slot, which everyone, all the sides, facing. And then the following week, of course, we have the Sharks. That's, I believe that's the Easter weekend. It is on the Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
6:15, we go up to the Toxic Swamp and we play the Sharks. Obviously, our sister club, they love us. We love them. Deep history of affection and love between us and the Cronulla
side. If you've got a I hate Jordan Rapana, I hate you t-shirt, wear it to that game, I dare you.
Yeah, we dare you. And go stand with the children of the corn, you know.
We play them again in round eight, which is nuts.
Yeah, it's stupid. I hate when you play teams too close together. It makes no sense. But that's the NRL draw for you. Whatever platform you're listening to us on, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iTunes, Apple, Google Play, subscribe so you won't miss an episode. We're going to try and have them coming out generally on a Wednesday, but this one's out on a Thursday. So we'll work out our schedule once Matt gets back to LA. But subscribe, and that way you'd get a notification and you'll never miss an episode.
Yeah, and give us a 5-star rating. And then give us a horrific comment. You don't have to give us a 5-star comment. Just give us a 5-star rating. And then you can say as many horrible things about you want. Most of them will be relevant. We'll take it. It's fair play to you. But give us that 5-star rating. Anyway, you have been listening to the podcast formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet, Raiders Review with Blake and the Port and Matt. I'm Pork.
I'm Blake.
And I'm Heather.
And we'll talk at you again soon.
Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.